This is Steve Hiles welcoming you to episode 2 of the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, a place where tips and strategies critical to the new teacher are discussed. In this episode, we're going to be talking about strategies for dealing with difficult parents. Okay, let's dive right in. Frederick Buechner famously wrote, "Students may forget what you said, but will never forget how you made them feel." Teacher training programs create some of the best memories of any teacher. The passionate dream we had during those days about helping, guiding, teaching, or mentoring kids made us so excited, and finally here we are, certified teachers. I want to discuss a topic that typically isn't taught in teacher preparation programs, and that's dealing with difficult parents. Parents of school children don't usually come to our college classes to interact with us. And even during our field experiences in actual schools, parents are more inclined to talk to the classroom teacher than the student teacher. Hence, this area puts the student teacher at a loss. Unlike the seasoned teacher, which has had the experience of dealing with parents. Today, let's take a look at a few topics that would help us to deal with difficult parents. But before knowing about the practical tips on dealing with parents, we need to understand that there is no real category of parents who are to be defined as difficult. Most of the time, it's just normal parents who get over-involved in the process of educating their child. Okay, let's go ahead and break this down. Decoding parents is not that difficult as many would have you think. Now, generally speaking, we can categorize parents into three groups. Let's look at each one in turn. Category 1, involved parents. These are probably the kind of parents we imagine ourselves dealing with while in our training. Involved parents take an active interest in their child's learning. They receive communication from teachers gladly and attentively. They may even volunteer for school and PTA activities. Involved parents are the type we might encounter the most. And in many cases, involved parents are quite easy to work with. They listen to what teachers have to say and see themselves as teammates in their child's education. So, for the most part, we can deal with these parents in a very straightforward way. Keep communication open and regular. Let them know when action is needed on their part and keep them informed on matters regarding their child that require attention. But be prepared for an occasional conflict, too, because involved parents can sometimes be over-involved parents. Now let's move on to Category 2, the adversarial parents or the over-involved parents. Some parents get so involved and so invested in their children's education that they can become more difficult. They can get very emotional and pushy when teachers do things they disagree with. Some involved parents lobby for extra attention and special treatment for their children. This may not be possible or warranted. At other times, a parent, pair of parents, or whole group of parents may want to influence or change the way that you do your job. When dealing with involved adversarial parents, it's important to keep our emotions in check. I know that this can be hard at times. It's frustrating to have someone else tell you how to do your job. It can also be quite upsetting to have our teaching picked apart and criticized. I get it, but we really need to keep a steady eye on the needs of our students and focus on the student is always our main concern. This is always more important than winning any conflict with the parent. Now moving on to Category 3, parents who are uninvolved parents. Now there can be many reasons for having uninvolved parents. For instance, parents may be working two jobs, or they may be a single parent. Just because a parent is uninvolved doesn't necessarily mean that the parent doesn't care. This is why I think a solid homeschool connection is important. Even though we have generally categorized parents, it just gives us a glimpse of how we are to be equipped in handling them. If we are effectively equipped in handling parents, then we could easily free ourselves from one of the major areas of anxiety that usually grips us as teachers. Let me just break down some ideas to make sure this sinks in. We all love surprises, and the first thing we need to keep in mind when it comes to parents, no surprises. Yes, you heard me right. Never keep surprises from parents. If there is any trouble regarding the child, if you suspect any sort of learning disability or emotional immaturity, do not wait for problems to arise. Make it a point to communicate frequently and positively so that a positive relationship will be developed before you hit bumps in the road. Parents don't want to hear things when it's too late to do anything about them. So, no surprises. Always keep them posted, and this will only strengthen a healthy relationship between the teacher and the parent. And by not keeping any surprises from them, a better relationship between parents and teachers can be fostered. Once, when parents get acquainted with you as the teacher, you will build that like, know, and trust factor. A parent who trusts a teacher won't ever be a difficult parent. But remember, even if we are cordial and professional, there may be times when parents become irate or unreasonable without knowing the complete facts of the situation. There may be instances where we will be left off guard in front of totally confused parents. And in these situations, do not jump into a heated conversation to justify your position. Take a few moments and just listen to the parents. Hear them out, try to understand where they're coming from. Once the parents are done venting, calmly make them feel comfortable and explain your side of the story. In these situations, what should be considered due diligence is the tone of conversation. Too often, the parents don't have all the facts and end up making assumptions, often to the detriment of the teacher. And it is here that this technique comes in handy. The teacher talks in a lower voice. Upset parents often talk at an elevated level and in an accusatory nature. It is quite common for the person on the receiving end of this conversation to become nervous. When one becomes nervous, coherent sentences are often lost. A person's voice can become shaky and lack confidence. With the lowered volume, the shakiness in the voice will become less obvious. In addition, the decreased volume forces the other party to focus more closely on what is being said instead of focusing on their needs or concerns. The upset parent must channel additional energy to listen to what the other person is saying. Furthermore, the upset parent will start noticing how loud they are speaking and how this will not benefit the conversation. But remember, if there is a genuine mistake that you as the teacher made, own up to the mistake and apologize. Most of the time, this will only result in gaining the trust of parents. So remember, admit it when you are wrong. A senior teacher once shared her experience with me, and this is what she had to say. When I was first teaching, I would become furious when a parent questioned my judgment. Now that I have nearly 26 years of experience, my reaction is the opposite. I mentally replay the situation and reflect on whether I could have handled it better. If so, I immediately apologize to the parent and outline steps to improve matters. But if I felt that what I did was in the best interest of the child, then I would explain why, perhaps by sharing examples of the child's work or other documentation. You know, we don't need to have children of our own to be good teachers, but we must have empathy, humility, and dedication to do what is best for our students. A little diplomacy goes a long, long way. And that brings us to the need for empathy. The words, "I am so sorry that happened," are highly effective. These six little words convey a great deal. First, it shows that you've listened to what was said and are concerned about everyone's well-being. In addition to acknowledging what happened, you are providing an opportunity to establish rapport with the other party. The person has shown concern and would like to address the matter to alleviate or remedy it. Sometimes the person just wants a shoulder to cry on. Other times, a wrong may have occurred and this person would like a remedy. Either way, you have to put a priority on the person's situation. By stating that you are sorry that the situation occurred, you can calm an irate parent down and provide an opportunity to have a calm conversation over the situation. This is a highly effective way to have a discussion and establish a good relationship. Now let's consider this scenario. Your student's mother has scheduled a meeting for this afternoon, but she has given you no indication of what she wants to talk about. Your student is doing very well academically and socially, so you don't have a clue as to the topic. At the appointed time, Mom enters your classroom, sits down, and begins to tell you that she feels you need to present your class lessons in a different way and that your curriculum could be improved. When she starts with the discussion, more than likely any professional teacher will understand as to where the meeting is heading. And hence, listen first, remain calm, and remember, you are the professional. Do not become defensive, even if it feels like the parent is questioning your ability to teach. Before all meetings with parents, make sure you have the teacher's editions of the textbooks, the grade level objectives, and the state standards. Also have available state and district web addresses where she can go for further information. Explain how you teach, such as whole group instruction, small group, cooperative learning, etc., and review the homework policy. Support your choice of techniques with research materials and make copies of the material that addresses her concern or questions. Consider inviting the parent to see you in action. Let me just say that welcoming parents to observe only while you teach, I feel, is a good thing. But let me be clear, it's not a parent-teacher conference. The parent may understand your processes more after she sees you at work. If none of these tactics help, ask an administrator, grade level chair, or department head to assist you with other strategies to help the parent. Just try to understand the parent and explain to them you genuinely want their child to have a great education. Yet another scenario that can play out is when a mom comes into your classroom without warning, visibly upset, and says, "You are giving out just way too much homework," she fumes. "Really, it is ridiculous what Johnny has to do. I don't have time for it. I work all day and come home late. By the time I feed him, he has only half an hour to do his homework before bedtime. He has enough school all day. Why does he have to do more? Are you not doing your job? Is that why you have to give out so much homework? Just what is the reason? I'd like an answer." Invariably, this would be enough to test anyone's patience. But just stay cool. Although you need to address Mom's concern, now is not the time, as she is too upset and you can't leave your class. Let her know you welcome the opportunity to talk with her, but that you cannot do so at the moment. Ask her to leave a phone number where she can be reached and assure her that you will call to set up a meeting as soon as possible. When you do plan to meet, if you feel more comfortable, arrange to have another teacher, the school counselor, or an administrator present. Explain that you assign only enough homework to show parents what the child did in class that day and to help him review new concepts covered in class. This keeps the parent informed and helps the student organize his time and create a routine for sharing what he has learned during the day with his parent. You may suggest the possibility that the child didn't understand what was being taught, so it took him a little longer than the other children to complete the assignment. Now, if this is the case, you may want to sit down with the parent and come up with possible reasons why the child did not finish his homework. Develop a plan that will assist the child in improving his skills and finishing the homework. If the child goes to an after-school program, for instance, suggest ways that the staff could work with him on academics. If there is still a problem, offer to cooperate with the parent to create a homework schedule so the activities the child has to do at home get done in a timely fashion and he has free time left before bed. You might want to make an accommodation. For example, okay, say you're given 20 math problems. Well, instead of giving that particular child 20, you know, cut it in half, give them 10 and see how that works and then kind of go from there. Now, from the scenarios mentioned, what any teacher has to be aware of is about the finesse with which you handle various situations. Never take any comment or remark from a parent to be personal. Make them feel comfortable and ask them about the comment in a very polite manner, with the sole intention to understand what made the parent say what she said. Ask them, "I'm sorry you think that way. Can you tell me what's happened to make you feel this way?" These little gestures of professional diplomacy can bring a real effect on the parent, who then won't be interested in taking a rough stand against a truly professional and caring teacher. Most of the issues with difficult parents can be handled by any teacher with a minimum requirement of a professional attitude. Whenever a conversation happens between a teacher and a parent, irrespective of what the topic is, always meet them on equal and common ground. Try to find something in common, be it sports, hobbies, music, or a personal philosophy, even your own struggle as a person. something to humanize yourself and establish the overlap between yourself and the parent. Finding something in common and respecting them as equal will help us go a long way. Lastly, I want to share a tip that I've done many times during the beginning of the school year that seemed to set the foundation of establishing good rapport with parents. During the first week of school, I would reach out by telephone and call each and every single parent in my class to introduce myself, entertain any questions or concerns that they might have, making it a very positive conversation. Then, every week of the school year, my goal was to send home two positive notes to the parents, one boy and one girl, and share something special, something positive about their child. And that, my fellow teacher, has paid off in big dividends. Now, in addition, I'd send home weekly newsletters, establish a classroom website to further keep my parents informed. Now, by doing what I just previously described, it has drastically reduced disgruntled parents over the years. But just know, over time, you will invariably get some displeased parents. If you teach long enough, it's inevitable. But hopefully, the information presented here will help you. Remember, you got this. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you find a golden nugget or two that you can use right away in your own classroom. I do want to share a free resource that I believe your students will absolutely enjoy creating their very own mini book. It's my Let's Write a Book activity. It comes complete with templates and step-by-step directions. Grab your free copy today by going to getstartedontherightfoot.com. That's getstartedontherightfoot.com. Also, should you have any questions concerning this episode, please feel free to reach out to us at teacherrockstarpodcast@gmail.com. Folks, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Until then, have yourself a great week.